Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about a longer and warmer spring season in the state and updates on coronavirus. It's Thursday, March 19th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Spring in Montana is getting warmer and lasting longer, according to new research from a nonprofit group of independent scientists. Kay Erickson talked to one of their meteorologists about what the changing spring means for life in Montana.
The group Climate Central looked back 5 decades and found that spring temperatures in Montana have warmed 2 degrees on average over the past 50 years, and the season was 6 days longer. Now, while 2 degrees warmer may not seem like that significant of an increase, but Climate Central meteorologist Sean Sublette says that's on average with more extremes.
You're going to have more incidents of extreme heat and much fewer incidences of extreme cold. So even though you have what seems to be a small increase in the average, that gives you a dramatic increase in the extremes on the warm side.
Climate Central is an independent group of scientists and journalists headquartered in New Jersey who research and report on the changing climate. For this study, they went back to 1970 and analyzed weather data from cities around the country, including Billings, Bozeman, Butte, Glendive, Great Falls, Helena, and Missoula here in Montana. Sublette says for Montana, this temperature increase impacts snowpack in the higher elevations, which is not as deep as it used to be on average, and has dissipated more quickly. Rivers and streams in late spring and summer are warmer, which impact fishing. And the effect is felt in agriculture, one of Montana's largest economic drivers.
You're going to have more pests, more weeds showing up earlier and lasting later into the season. So agriculturally, you're going to have to add more resources or spend more resources toward fighting off those pests.
Sublette says what happens over the next 50 years is impacted by what we do now.
It really depends on a lot of the choices that we decide to make here in the coming 1 to 2 decades, because it takes a while for the atmosphere to reach equilibrium.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Missoula County Commissioners adopted a resolution yesterday to not jail anyone charged with nonviolent misdemeanor offenses under state law or city ordinances. People will still be jailed if convicted. The emergency resolution is effective immediately. It's designed to minimize risk of the novel coronavirus from being introduced into the local detention center. The resolution notes the State Department of Corrections is expected to transfer sentenced inmates at a slower pace for the next few months, increasing the risk of both local overcrowding and the spread of COVID-19. The State Corrections Department announced last week it will stop all visitation at its facilities. The American Civil Liberties of Montana, meanwhile, says prison and jail inmates are particularly vulnerable to outbreaks of contagious illness. ACLU wants the governor and corrections officials to take special measures to protect inmates from the COVID pandemic. Those include eliminating unnecessary incarcerations and release of vulnerable prison populations, including the elderly and those with existing health conditions. On the heels of a third COVID-19 illness case announced out of Gallatin County yesterday morning, the county and the city of Bozeman have declared states of emergency. Rachel Kramer reports existing closures of bars and eateries and now gyms, theaters, and other indoor recreational facilities have been extended into April as part of an effort to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus.
The city and county's declarations activate emergency plans, give authority to close buildings and cancel meetings, and allow the county to furnish aid. The nearby towns of Belgrade and West Yellowstone signed emergency declarations earlier this week. Three Forks is expected to follow suit later this week. As of Wednesday morning, Gallatin County reported a total of 3 COVID-19 cases, 2 men in their 20s and 1 in his 40s. They're recovering in isolation at home. Cindy Spinelli with the Gallatin City County Health Department says her current supply issue concern is stocking up on personal protective equipment for healthcare workers treating potential COVID-19 cases.
To do the test, the healthcare provider needs to put on the N95 mask, and we know those are in limited supply.
She says they're monitoring to know if more healthcare workers are needed. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The Indian Health Service is facilitating coronavirus testing in tribal communities across the United States and in Montana. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Chairman Gerald Gray of the newly recognized Little Shell Tribe says the Indian Health Service confirmed tribal members' access to IHS facilities as of Wednesday morning. He says the tribe doesn't have its own clinic yet, but tribal members can now access IHS facilities statewide.
And this is because IHS doesn't have any new construction or what they call facility money for us. So right now, even though it's a federally recognized tribe, we have no facility to provide any kind of services to our members.
Gray says he expects a written and signed confirmation of service, which last week Montana's congressional delegation encouraged IHS to provide. IHS clinics are the most accessible form of medical service for many tribal members. Crow Tribe of Indians spokesperson Cordell Stewart says as of Wednesday afternoon, Crow IHS had sent 5 samples to be tested and all returned negative. Health authorities in Yellowstone County say swab samples are taken at local healthcare facilities and are sent to either the state lab in Helena or one of 2 private companies, Quest or LabCorp. They say the state lab turns results around in 24 to 36 hours, while the private labs may take 3 to 7 days. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The Montana Office of Public Instruction is asking Governor Steve Bullock and the federal government to waive requirements for standardized testing and instructional time. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the ask comes days into the governor's 2-week public school closure order in response to the novel coronavirus.
OPI is asking Governor Bullock to waive state instructional time requirements and to continue providing transportation reimbursements as schools deliver food to students throughout the closure. OPI is also asking the federal government to waive testing requirements that help dictate federal funding. OPI held a conference call with district administrators, Montana's congressional delegation, and the governor's office Tuesday to discuss issues related to school closures. Many schools are moving to online and remote learning, but districts are concerned about whether they'll have to make up any instructional time they may lose out on during the coronavirus pandemic. They're also worried about continued state funding for transportation needed to deliver meals and physical learning materials to students. Bullock ordered schools to close for 2 weeks starting Monday, but there's anxiety over whether the closures could last much longer. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The Missoula Senior Center is changing how it serves meals to its elderly members, a step designed to help prevent the spread of COVID-19, the infectious disease caused by the novel coronavirus. The disease is particularly dangerous for the elderly. John Nugent is the Senior Center's board president. Nugent says after a recent meeting with local health officials, the organization is now in full compliance with new regulations put in place by several counties, including Missoula, limiting restaurant and food services.
We're doing a grab-and-go, I guess is what they're calling it. We're attempting to serve our members by having them just come and take it and then either take it home, eat it in their car, or we have some homeless people that we set up a table for out in the parking lot that they can sit at the table and eat it.
Nugent says the senior center's luncheon clients even stand 6 feet apart as they wait in line around the building on Missoula's Higgins Avenue. These are very different protocols than those in place just a couple days ago. As Montana Public Radio reported earlier this week, the center was serving meals to over 100 clients at a time in a sit-down dining setting. That's over twice the crowd-side public health officials are recommending to slow the spread of COVID-19. That seating arrangement raised a red flag for Missoula Aging Services CEO Susan Kohler. Kohler, however, is thrilled with the new and improved dining arrangement.
I'm very pleased because it's the right decision. I wish they made it earlier, but it's better than not at all. We've offered to help in any way we can, and I think they're taking a great deal of responsibility of being careful and how they're passing out meals.
Both Kohler and Nugent say they're also developing ways to help local seniors from feeling even more socially isolated under this emerging health crisis. Montana's travel industry is already feeling the impact of the novel coronavirus. Rachel Kramer reports many businesses are worried about the long-term impacts of current cancellations, slow bookings, and labor shortages.
Nearly 70% of Montana businesses in the tourism industry said they expect to see a revenue loss this year. That's according to a survey released Monday from the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research at the University of Montana. ITRR's President Norma Nickerson says one of the big concerns survey participants reported was about employees getting sick, going into quarantine, or staying home to take care of others.
Tourism in Montana is a small business operation. It's a lot of small businesses. And many of them will have 5, 10, 15 employees, that's it. And when one of them can't be around, they might have to temporarily close their business.
The survey wrapped up Friday before the first set of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Montana and subsequent business closure orders were announced. Still, between 30 and 50% of businesses reported booking cancellations. Fewer than 10% of survey respondents said their businesses were actually getting more bookings because Montana was perceived as a safe place to visit. Nickerson says nearly 400 businesses responded to the survey in 48 hours, which she says shows COVID-19 is a big concern in the tourism industry.
But the other part of it is people want to know how other business people are reacting. And by answering a survey, I think they felt, you know, we're going to get some answers here. It's not going to solve our problem, but it's kind of like misery likes company. Oh, we're not the only ones.
The World Travel and Tourism Council says the pandemic could shrink the global travel sector by up to 25% in this year. Nickerson says ITRR plans on sending out the survey every 2 weeks to gauge the effects of the pandemic for however long it lasts.
I've had a number of people call me and say, yeah, we'd like you to keep doing this because you could have a pulse on when it finally makes a turn. Right now, everybody knows it's going to ramp up. But at what point is it going to go down? And maybe then we have light at the end of this tunnel, so to speak.
Nickerson says many business owners have a wait and see attitude. International airports in Montana are already feeling the squeeze. Brian Springer, president of the Bozeman-Yellowstone International Airport, says his airport saw a sharp drop this week as ski vacationers headed home and weren't replaced with incoming tourists.
There's been a pretty significant decline in passenger traffic.
12% of tourists fly to Montana, mostly in the summer and winter. Springer says he expects the biggest impacts to occur over the next 2 months, with more cancellations and fewer bookings. He says the airport has been looking at what's happening globally to come up with various scenarios for how this could play out over the coming months.
Our most extreme scenario right now is an 80% reduction in passengers for the month of April and May, and then a slow recovery.
Springer says 1,000 people work at the airport. That includes staff for the airlines, rental car companies, and food vendors. He says he doesn't expect the 50 full-time employees who work for the airport will be cut. Springer says some airlines will be reducing flights to certain destinations in April and May, but the details are still being worked out. The nation's major airlines asked the federal government for $50 billion in financial assistance Wednesday. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Essential Air Service Program subsidizes flights from 7 remote Montana towns and cities. EAS spokesperson Aaron Hatzel said they've seen a decrease in advance bookings, but so far there are no changes to flight schedules or capacity in Montana. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Yellowstone County is preparing new rules for restaurants, bars, and casinos to open up to the public again following the health department's week-long closure ordered earlier this week. Kayla DeRoche reports it's still unclear if or when that might happen amid coronavirus concern.
Yellowstone County Health Officer John Felton said Wednesday the closure's end date, currently set for March 23rd, may change depending on the status of COVID-19 in the county.
As we look at the available data, the decision will be made as to whether we lift, modify, or keep the order in place beyond that. I know that's the question that everyone has. The answer is simply that at this point, we don't know.
Felton said he's letting businesses know now so they have time to determine how they'll physically distance patrons, take employee illness into consideration, and clean surfaces, among other things. He said establishments must meet these minimums in order to reopen. Jody McKinnon, manager of the Reno Club Bar, advocated for social distancing measures instead of full closures.
I think there's a lot of businesses out there, the Costcos, the salons, things like that, where people are gathering that are able to stay in business and those people are able to make money, whereas I feel us as an industry are being targeted a little bit.
Some Yellowstone County businesses are alerting customers of voluntary closures. A handful of Montana County health departments have instituted similar closures following the confirmation of COVID-19 illnesses in state. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. Corin, we're on day 6 living in a positive coronavirus state here in Montana.
Yeah, and let's walk our listeners through some of the headlines that came down yesterday.
Yeah, so a big one is that the United States and Canada decided to close the border for non-essential travel. It'll happen in the next few days, don't know for how long. Trade is not expected to be impacted, according to President Trump. He says fuel, food, medicines are all good, but this will disrupt tourism and recreation.
We all know Montana is a very tourism-driven economy. Nikki, what is that going to mean for that industry in Montana?
Right. So according to data from the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research from 2014, Canadian travelers represented about 14% of all of the people coming into Montana. About a third of them were coming here for vacation, 15% were just coming for shopping, and non-resident spending in Montana does make up a multi-billion dollar industry in the state. Speaking of supply chains, the U.S. Farm Bureau is pushing for a waiver to increase the amount of driving hours that truckers can take on when they're transporting agricultural supply chain stuff. There's already one of those waivers in effect for food, fuel, and medical supplies, but they want it expanded to stuff like seed, fertilizer, and crop protection tools so that farmers can grow a healthy crop this coming season.
And the U.S. Senate passed a coronavirus relief package. Both of Montana's U.S. Senators, John Tester and Steve Daines, voted yes for that. It designates $1 billion for emergency unemployment insurance benefits, along with covering up to 2 weeks of paid leave for employees in certain circumstances. Montana's lone voice in the House, Greg Gianforte, voted yes on that as well. Staying on federal decision-making for a minute, Nikki, what's going on with the national parks?
They've suspended entrance fees at the parks. At Yellowstone, that's usually $25. At Glacier, it's $35 per vehicle. Both of those parks have kind of limited access anyway. Yellowstone National Park is also closing down its Albright Visitor Center and the Boiling River Soak and Swim area. Those are closed until further notice.
Until we heard about cases of coronavirus in the U.S. and Montana, there was a lot of news about the U.S. Census happening this year. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is the every 10-year count, trying to get a head count of all the people in state, which determines a bunch of federal funding. The Montana Census Office announced yesterday that it's suspending field operations until official census day on April 1st. So that includes trainings and leaving questionnaires at homes. The Bureau is expected to reassess its status in about 2 weeks to take on new guidance from public health officials.
And people will be able to be counted online.
Yeah, it's the first year for online count.
What's the word from Montana Governor's office?
Yesterday, Governor Steve Bullock announced that on Friday, he's expanding telemedicine. So patients and providers will be able to talk on the phone or online, not just by video chat, like you have to do under the existing policy. Medicaid will be able to pay for telemedicine if the patient and provider are in the same community. You also don't need to establish a face-to-face relationship before you enter into telemedicine. That's new. And this will be available for physical, mental, and substance use care.
There were a few changes also in the last few days on law enforcement. Here in Missoula, where I'm based, county commissioners decided they won't jail anyone charged with a nonviolent misdemeanor for offenses under state law or city ordinances. People will still be jailed if convicted. And this is all being done to minimize risks of people getting infected while in local detention centers. Nikki, what else are you hearing on that?
Pretty much similar thing in Billings. They're issuing notice to appears instead of arresting people if there's no danger to the community or it's not required by law. They've also closed down the volunteer-staffed crime prevention center. They handle some police reports there. Now they're asking everyone to do that online.
We're being told by public health officials to avoid groups. Work from home if you can, for sure. Stay home if you're sick. But what does this look like for people who don't have a home?
So the Montana Rescue Mission, that's in Billings, they're still serving hot meals, offering shelter beds for people who need it. But they say they're inundated in a way they haven't experienced in the past decade, and they are asking for donations. Meanwhile, over in Bozeman and Livingston, HRDC closed down its warming centers 2 weeks early. They say they're worried about people sleeping in bunks. And HRDC is working with county health department officials to try to connect people with health care and quarantine options if they need it. Sparrow's Nest in Kalispell, they offer housing for high school students experiencing homelessness. They're staying open. They have their infection prevention plan in place and are practicing social distancing. And they are also noting that this is a really hard time for them and are asking for donations.
A few quick notes on some public school news in the last couple of days. Montana Office of Public Instruction is asking Governor Steve Bullock and the federal government to waive certain requirements for standardized testing and instructional time. And the University of Montana says it will not resume face-to-face instruction the rest of the spring semester. This comes a week after the entire Montana University system announced it would move to remote classes starting March 23rd.
And that wraps up our daily update. Thanks, Corin.
Thank you, Nikki.
The governor's office last night confirmed another two COVID-19 cases, a Missoula County man in his 50s and a Gallatin County man in his 60s. This brings Montana's in-state count to 11. As of this broadcast, the Montana State Lab has tested over 700 people in Montana for COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus. 11 of those tests have come back positive. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney spoke with Montana's state medical officer Gregory Holzman yesterday to learn more about the COVID-19 testing process.
Who qualifies for COVID-19 testing and who has the final say on who is tested?
The provider is going to be the individual who has to make that decision. They're seeing you of who should be tested and who shouldn't be.
So the provider doesn't need approval from the state or the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention?
No, we do ask them to contact local public health when they do the test. There are some private labs that have opened up. If a provider was to do the test and send it to one of these outside labs, they still have a responsibility to notify local public health, which will notify the state. And those reports from even those outside labs come back to the state, negative or positive, so we know about them also. The reason for this is local public health wants to know because they'll get started on things right away to go out to that individual, and they're going to treat that individual as if they have the virus, putting them in isolation until we have a definitive response back. This is, again, to control the outbreak.
Because of guidelines on who is tested, who is not tested, on testing those people who have symptoms or have been exposed to an infected area, I'm wondering if that allows the chance of not testing people who are in fact infected.
From the perspective of why the test would be done and why a provider might choose to do a test or not do a test, right now, because as from an epidemiological point of view in Montana, they're more likely to do some of the tests because we're trying to control the outbreak. If you go into some of these places where there's a lot of community spread, like in Seattle or something like that, they might not even be doing some of the tests because it doesn't change the treatment for that individual patient that's in front of them. At this point in time, if somebody comes in that has symptoms, they very well would do the test. But there are other circumstances that the provider might decide that they aren't going to do the test. For that individual patient, they're going to treat them the same way. Go home, stay isolated, and let us know if anything gets worse. We want you to come back. We'll be checking, you know, checking up on you.
Can you explain a little more then about how testing plays a role in the state's plan to curb the infection rate in Montana? It sounds like you're saying that even if someone has COVID-19 or not, the provider is still going to care for them in a certain way, and the test data is actually useful in other ways.
The test data really does little for the individual patient, because there isn't a specific treatment. It's supportive care. If you have the virus, but you're doing quite well, you just have the sniffles, you're feeling a little, they're going to send you home and just say, stay in this area, you know, and do all the things that people tell you, drink lots of water, you know, those kind of things. And that's all that would be done. If that person starts to worsen, let's say they start to get real short of breath, then they will be coming maybe back into the hospital, or they might come to the hospital because they would have other supportive care that can only be given at the hospital that can't be given at your home. But we don't have a treatment that we're going to start them on an antiviral medication or do something of that at this point in time. The test for the individual, I want to be real straight, does not change the care plan at all. The test does help us epidemiologically to try to prevent the spread within the community, try to contain. So that's what we're trying to do. The hospital, they might be doing testing on anybody that's coming into the hospital because that allows them to understand what personal protective equipment they might want to use so that they are using those resources most efficiently.
Are enough people being tested for you to have a clear sense of where potential hotspots are and where to direct medical resources maybe preemptively?
I think we're doing the testing as should be done out there. There is no value in going out and testing every person that's asymptomatic. That's not going to give us an answer and not really going to help us try to control this virus. What we're trying to do is keep a step ahead of it. Now, along with all the testing and everything else that's going on, all these other modalities that are being put in for prevention, that's what people need to do, and that's going to help us not have more cases. So the social distancing, don't go to these large group things. Make sure you're washing your hands. You know, when you cough or sneeze, make sure you wash your hands afterwards. All those type of things that everybody's been hearing about, that's what people individually that are asymptomatic need to be doing.
And at this point, is there enough testing to determine if there is community spread in Montana? Most of the cases being identified right now are from people traveling either to other parts of the country or internationally and bringing the virus back to the state.
At this point in time, we don't have conclusive evidence that we're having widespread community spread of this. So that's why we're doing the testing. For all the tests that we have reported positive right now, and I haven't kept up with the latest numbers, but we have many, many, many more negatives than we do positives.
Listeners might be hearing or reading national headlines talking about a shortage of COVID-19 tests available in the United States. How do you think Montanans should view that information, and how does it play into the state's COVID-19 response plan?
So I can't speak, of course, for the United States, but I can tell you here in Montana right now, we are fine with the number of COVID-19 tests that we have here at the state lab. And we're working with CDC to get more to come in all the time.
What's the worst case scenario in your mind? And want to ask that not to instill fear, but to give people a check on how serious the state's top health officer, you, are seeing the situation.
We will never know the results of our overreaction, but we will live with our underreactions. In public health, we have a saying, when everything, we're doing everything great, hopefully nothing's happening. So we're going to do everything we can because we really have the, I hate the word advantage, but we have the ability to learn from our partners internationally and what's happened there and what's even happened with domestically within our own country to really be ahead of the curve on this. And we're going to go full force on that right now and do our best to try to stay there.
Dr. Holzman, thanks for taking the time.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
That was Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney speaking with State Medical Officer Gregory Holzman. You can hear more from Holzman regarding the state's testing for COVID-19 on our website, ypradio.org. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.